From our studios in downtown Portland, Oregon, this is a Coin6 Digital exclusive.
All right, welcome to another Coin6 weather podcast. So wildfire season has officially started, and in today's episode, we're going to talk about what we can expect going into our summer, what that means for the Willamette Valley, and what that means if you live in those drier parts of the state, what it means if you plan to hike in our national forest this summer, and some wildfire trends and how they may have changed or continue to change moving forward. I'm here at the Northwest Interagency Coordination Center, or NWCC for short, which is an organization that facilitates the movement of these resources between agencies. So my guest today is John Sullenberger, the Fire Weather Program Manager. John, thanks for speaking with me today.
Happy to be here.
All right. So, we saw a number of wildfires last season, and folks in the Willamette Valley surely remember how bad the air quality got. So let's just jump right into it. It's June. What is the update this month and going into our summer?
Okay. So each month we update our outlook for what's coming for the next few months. We've just issued our official summer outlook for Oregon and Washington for fire season 2019. That's posted on our website or is in the process of being posted. Now, what it's illustrating is an interesting change over what we have seen in previous years. Things the way they're shaping up right now with the pattern that we've seen coming into the West Coast with weather patterns and the El Nino pattern that we've been in has brought a lot of precipitation to California, has brought a lot of precipitation to the Great Basin, the Central Rockies, the desert Southwest, everywhere except areas where we normally get a lot of precipitation, and that's western, much of western Oregon and certainly in western Washington. Mm-hmm. So going into fire season 2019, we've got some problem spots on the radar. The first problem spot is just about all of western Washington. It's been unusually dry since the fall of 2018. It's continued to be unusually dry through the spring and early part of the summer of 2019. We're also looking at areas in extreme northwest Oregon as being unusually dry going into fire season. Also, some sections of eastern Washington along the Canadian border also looking unusually dry at this point.
Okay, so I know we've seen a couple of heavy periods of rain already this spring, and I'm just curious, when we do get those periods, how does that affect the fire season going forward? Is it helpful that, you know, we get that rain and maybe that can put out fires, but then it's unhelpful because it's helping those fuels to grow?
Yeah, there's a lot of different competing theories about how rainfall and snow affect the following fire season intensity. And the relationship isn't as clear as we'd like to make it. And I've seen plenty of years where we've had ample snowpack, ample precipitation, and by August we've got plenty of fires burning. Right. On the other hand, I've seen dry years, and sometimes without a lot of lightning during those dry years, we don't get a lot of fire activity. What I like to tell people who are interested in this topic is that the main driving factor for us is the weather during the fire season.
Got it.
The preceding conditions, they add a little bit, but not as much as we might like to
okay.
to hope. So going into fire season 2019, we're looking at a variety of competing factors. Certainly the fire danger going into the fire season can help set the stage for us, but it's by no means a guarantee of what's coming.
Okay, that's a really good explanation. It makes a lot more sense now. So are wildfires all natural, like from lightning, or are they human-caused too? What do you see out there?
Yeah, in the Pacific Northwest, season after season, when we average them out, we tend to see a pretty close to even split between human-caused fires and lightning-caused fires of all fires that are reported in the Pacific Northwest during fire season. That's Oregon and Washington. Typically, we see somewhere between 3,000 and 5,000 total fires reported during the fire season. It varies from year to year, but it's typically within that range. What's an exception to that is while the number of lightning-caused fires and human-caused fires is pretty close to equal on average, of the fires that get large in some areas in the Pacific Northwest, about three-quarters of those come from lightning. Mm. So lightning-caused fires, because they hit up in the high country that is difficult for firefighters to access, they're likely to sit for a longer time before they get attention.
Got it.
And therefore, they stand a greater chance of growing large.
Uh-huh.
Fires that are caused by humans, on the other hand, tend to be near roadways where firefighters can get there quicker.
Yeah.
So, by and large, it's lightning that is the cause of our largest fires in the Pacific Northwest.
Interesting. And last season, we saw quite a few of those up towards kind of the more drier plateau areas, up towards Morrow and Dufour.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We saw some on the east of the Cascades. We saw a lot of them in southwest Oregon. We saw in central Washington.
Mm-hmm.
We saw those fires. those are really tough to predict even a few days ahead of time, let alone months ahead of time. So the number of lightning-caused fires is always a wild card in the deck that's going to be dealt to us in any given fire season. There are studies that are looking at long-range predictions of lightning, but it's going to take someone with better research credentials than me to pry out the usefulness for preseason assessments.
So I want to go back to the Eagle Creek fire. That's probably one of the most notable fires of the past 2 years. Why did that one get so big? And that one was human-caused from a firework.
Yeah, human-caused fireworks. It's an exception to the rule that most of the fires that get really big and costly are caused by lightning. You know, it was a really dry year. It was really steep terrain with heavily overgrown with fuel. It was a very difficult place for firefighters to get into. And the combination of all those contributing conditions made that firefighters had to adopt a conservative strategy in trying to corral it. Certainly nobody was eager to march firefighters up a narrow trail in an overgrown drainage that was very, very dry. So essentially, we had to wait till the fire came to us rather than the other way around. Yeah. Add to that, gusty, strong winds coming out of the east once the fire had established itself, and then we had all the contributing characteristics for a large fire.
Yeah. So do you know of any tactics, I guess, going into this season that firefighters and agencies are using or will use to mitigate fires that may
grow? Safety first. The number one fire order is fire aggressively, but provide for safety first, which means that firefighters really won't approach a fire unless they have an egress. They have a safety zone to escape to in case that fire flares up. So safety first and foremost. Following that, we're going to try to protect life and property. We're going to try to protect resource value, and we're going to try to use our firefighting resources as efficiently as possible. And that's part of what this center does here is help distribute those firefighting resources.
Right. So I live in Portland, in the city, so when I think of wildfires, I don't necessarily think of the actual fire ever impacting me or really anywhere in the valley. The ones last year were pretty much up, you know, towards the gorge and in those drier areas on the east side. So we really deal with the residual smoke that drifts into the area. So when you say that it's going to be an above normal wildland fire season, can we expect more pollution and smoke this summer?
I think that the potential is elevated for more pollution, more smoke, more hazy sunsets during the fire season 2019. I say that because we're anticipating that west of the Cascades looks like it's going to be at higher fire danger than east of the Cascades, proportionally speaking.
Interesting. Okay.
So that would concentrate the smoke closer to home and possibly keep it concentrated near Portland, Seattle, or the Willamette Valley and our high population centers.
Yeah, so the last two summers I have noticed that I've had to cancel some of my outdoor plans because the smoke was just so bad, and I don't necessarily remember that happening, you know, 10 years ago when I was in high school and younger and a big hiker out in Washington. So is that a trend that you've noticed over the past decade, that the smoke has gotten worse, or just larger fires that are harder to contain that has contributed the smoke?
Yes.
Okay.
We've seen both. Yeah, we've seen weather patterns that have favored accumulation of smoke. We've seen fire potential patterns that have resulted in a number of ongoing large fires simultaneously and the Pacific Northwest and British Columbia and California. Hmm. The combination of all those things coming together at the same time in the same place means, extra smoke.
Interesting. So we have fires, you know, not just in Washington and Oregon, but California, and we can be affected by smoke from fires in Montana and Idaho, even Canada. So there's just a lot of greenery around in this area where smoke may be an issue moving forward. So again, that seems to be the trend as we head into these next years.
It does. If there's any good news for the 2019 fire season, it's that much of the Great Basin, much of higher elevations in California, much of the central and southern Rockies, we're anticipating a normal or less than normal fire season for 2019, just owing to the amount of precipitation that's fallen and the anticipation of precipitation that looks like it's likely to come during fire season 2019.
Hmm. So what are the most significant impacts humans may see from forest fires in the next few decades?
Well, the Forest Service, in conjunction with the University of Montana, recently published a study which compared a number of contributing factors to the intensity of Western fire seasons over the last four decades. They looked at several contributing factors: preceding winter snowpack, the daily values of relative humidity during fire season, the the number of days between rainfall events during the fire season. And when all those factors were added up, the number one contributing factor was that during the last four decades over the western United States, on average, the number of rainy days during fire season has decreased about 1% each year, which may not sound like much in any one year, but when you add that up over 40 years, that means that some areas in the western United States have undergone anywhere from a 25 to 45% decline in the number of rainy days during fire season. Fewer rainy days means more sun. More sun means higher fire danger. Higher fire danger means that once we do get ignitions, whether they come from humans or lighting, we have more fire.
Yeah, well, it sounds like climate change really kind of impacting our fires.
Yeah, there's no question that in the last four decades, we've seen a decrease in the number of rainy days during fire season.
That's so interesting. All right, so when we move into late June, July, and the summer, where can folks go to get the latest info, aside from Coin6 and you guys, you know, on fires that may impact them in
air local quality? Fire, pardon me, local fire management agencies oftentimes maintain websites or public call numbers that you can call into to find out about area closures, restrictions on hiking or camping or river running. The local national forests, national parks, BLM districts, or state fire agencies have hotlines where that kind of information can be accessed.
Right. I know Coin6 is sending people out there as soon as we hear of fires. All last summer, that's what we were doing too, and it was a pretty big season. So, again, we are predicting an above normal wildfire season or outlook going into summer.
Yeah, for the west side of Oregon and Washington.
Okay.
And along the Canadian border. Elsewhere in Oregon and Washington, the east side, we're looking at something of a near normal.
Got it.
Now, I hasten to add that near normal means we do get some fires, including some large fires.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't see an excessive risk of large fires for 2019.
Right. Well, thank you, John, for speaking with us. And you were very articulate. I actually learned quite a bit about fires here. And again, you can always tune into our Coin6 weather episodes for more information, or coin6.com for fire info. Also, the Northwest Interagency Coordination Center has a lot of info, too. So again, thank you, John, for speaking today.
Happy to be here. Thanks.
The Coin6 Podcast Network is your home for all sorts of content you can't find anywhere else. Visit coin.com/coinpodcast to see our entire library. And you can always subscribe to all of the Coin6 podcasts on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.